reinstalling faith, I think, in community, because community is just going.
As I say, we don't get government or NHS funding, and since the pandemic, I think I see charities close every week, and I'm actually really immensely proud that we are still here as a charity. I don't know how long that will go on for, but I will always walk away proud of the impact that we've had, because as I said in the early years, I thought we'd be here while it was this fashionable thing, and I couldn't put Harry's legacy to waste when I knew that all this support could help other people going through it. And you find as well that people, because they don't know people aren't educated in how to talk to people going through cancer. So some people avoid, you know.
Welcome to the podcast.
This morning, our guest is Georgina Mosley. Georgia.
Hello.
Thank you ever so much for coming.
Thank you for inviting me.
Most people will know who you are, but for those that don't, would you give us an introduction to yourself?
Yeah, I am a very proud Brummie. I am Harry Mosley's mum and founder of the Help Harry Help Others Cancer Charity.
Okay. So I've seen some of your interviews previously.
Okay.
In regards to early life, career plans, we could talk a little bit of business as well. So there was no plan from school. There was no kind of, right, this is what I want to do. You didn't have any advice from a career advisor like PJ. Where he was told to get into scuba diving or something equally random.
I can imagine PJ is the scuba diver. Yeah. No, you know what? I'm 50 and I still don't know what I want to do.
I'm a little bit
tired. You know what I mean? I've just, obviously, this my road and path has happened because of lived experience. It's not something that was ever on the agenda. There's loads of things I want to do. I love learning, but I still haven't, at 50, got my heart set on, right, this is for me.
Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about Harry and the charity and kind of go right back?
Yeah, so Harry was Birmingham born and bred. He's one of three. My Louie and Danny are still doing amazingly well. Very proud of them and for all that they've been through, actually. But Harry, in the last 2 years of his life, you know, average council estate boy, still living near Garrett's Green in Birmingham. Raised over £750,000 for other charities because of his own experience of cancer and actually witnessing at the age of 9, he knew enough wasn't being done. So he came up with the idea of making the beaded bracelets as a thank you present for everybody's, you know, donation. Yours were gifts today, by the way.
Thank you.
Wearing
pride for the blue and white.
But I always say Harry proved that regardless of your age, your wealth, your lifestyle and your well-being, you can achieve anything if you're passionate enough. You know, he taught me that, you know, when we lost Harry, I'd got no intentions of setting up a charity. Without Harry, in my eyes, there was no charity. But actually the support from Birmingham and beyond, I just thought it would be criminal for me not to do something with that. I'm not going to lie, I didn't expect to be here doing it 13 years on. So Harry has got a lot of answering to do when I get up there to those pearly gates. But I thought I'd just ride the tidal wave, you know, like the media storm. I knew it was the fashionable thing for people to get behind and support at that time, and that would fizzle out. Probably by year three or four after Harry's passing, I would see the true reality of the ongoing support, you know, to our cause. So, but we are still here. Don't ask me how. I'd just say, as I said in Harry, you know, what I said about Harry, it's through hard work, determination and passion as to why we're still here. And very proud that we are now supporting over 1,500 adults and children from our cancer centre, which we don't get any government or NHS funding. So
really?
Harry used to refer to me as his bag carrier and chauffeur, and I am very much still that. You know, I am the fundraiser, I am the events team, and I actually, you know, obviously with the board of trustees, create the vision of where we're going and day-to-day manage the charity overall. So hence I, you know, work very long hours and sleep lots.
Okay, yeah. So seeing it through 9-year-old's eyes, I imagine that can be quite... So the innocence of a 9-year-old and realising that's quite a big thing coming from a child, really, isn't it? Knowing that not a lot's been done about it. So,
yeah, I think from a you know, making people better point of view, that you, there's just a cure, there's a fix, you know, like we have a headache, we take a tablet, job done. But I think also Harry was very mature, beyond, you know, he was beyond his years. But he was with me because of his time off school, because of chemo at the time and then radiotherapy. You know, things like when I faced losing my house, Harry was at these appointments with me. You know, so he was witnessing what was going on, the conversations that were happening. And I always remember what the building that we moved into that was our first cancer centre in 2015. Prior to that, it was my actual local neighbourhood office that had closed down.
Was that the poor one?
Yep.
Yeah.
And Harry came in there with me when I, you know, I didn't know what to do. I was forced to sell my house and loads of stuff going on. And when we left there, I left there in tears because it was just no support. And he said, "Mum, all this is happening because I've got cancer, isn't it?" And I said, "No, son, this is happening because there's not enough support for people who go through life-changing circumstances." You know, and it's these things, people might think it's 13 years on that you've lost your son, but it's all this that almost lives with you. And that is the fire in my belly that now drives me to support those who are going through cancer in the here and the now, because I get it, you know. I get all that change of the routine, the lifestyle. And there's not enough support in the community for the real life stuff. Hospitals are great, delivering all the medical care and the treatment, et cetera, et cetera. You know, if it's sadly you end up going to a hospice because the outcome isn't and the prognosis isn't good, they're wonderful. But why about all that nitty-gritty stuff, the unpretty stuff? You know, if somebody needs housing advice, benefits, if they need to talk to somebody. And you find that no matter how much your family are close, people stop communicating because they don't want to pass their worries, their fears, what's going on. No, I couldn't talk to Harry's dad and be thinking, you know, is Harry going to die? We don't know. I couldn't talk to his brother and sister. And for them, you know, for me to watch my Danny and Louis, I always say they went through more than Harry ever did because of what they witnessed their brother go through. But also the huge sense of loss all through that journey where, you know, not only was Harry withdrawn from our home and constantly in hospital, but when Harry was in hospital, I was there too.
Yeah.
So they lost their brother, even when he was very much living, and their mom, and they were being passed from pillar to post for people, you know, family helping out and looking after them. You know, they understood that obviously, and God forbid it never does happen, but if it was them. Yeah, they're older, so Harry was the baby. So when Harry was diagnosed, he was 7, Louis was 10, and Danny was 13 at the time. And when Harry died, you know, they were both going through their GCSE and A-levels. So.
It's a hard time anyway, isn't it?
Yeah. Full stop. And it still massively impacts on them today. You know, I just think when you go through such a loss, and Harry was such a character, you know, my house is just darkness. And I know he'd be 25 now. What would he be doing? I don't know. He'd be living his own life. But
25 now?
Well, yeah, in a few weeks' time, 22nd of February, should be celebrating his 25th wow. birthday. So hence I'll be doing some crazy challenge.
Yeah.
I'm sure. So
have you seen that it's changed over 13 years while you've been doing the work? So it's different, so you get a little bit more support now, or is it just the same, you're still hitting the same doors and barriers?
The early years, as I say, it felt like it was just a very fashionable thing, and I had to sort of rein things back in a little bit, and because it just didn't resonate with the...
Did you find that? Did you actually find that it felt like it was going a little bit in the wrong direction?
A lot of things, yeah, because it was...
Because it was fashionable?
Yeah. Yeah.
So people then use it for
and it didn't sit comfortable with me. So things like our annual celebration dinner or our ball completely switched it. You know, we have half the amount of people in the room now, but it's people who are there because they genuinely support the charity, not because it's the biggest or best event of the year.
Yeah.
You know, and I want people there for that, you know, because the night ultimately is about celebrating the impact of the work we have across Birmingham. But also, you know, it's about raising money. So if people are going to be there and they're not going to be, you know, spreading the Harry love, as I call it, then it's just, I'm not a numbers girl. I'm not a status girl. So it's, for me, it's about the core and the essence and the true meaning of how parry and having that support behind us. But it's hard now, you know, being completely transparent. It's, as I say, we don't get government or NHS funding. And since the pandemic, I think I see charities close every week, and I'm actually really immensely proud that we are still here as a charity. I don't know how long that will go on for, but I will always walk away proud of the impact that we've had. Because as I said, in the early years, I thought we'd be here while it was this fashionable thing, and I couldn't put Harry's legacy to waste when I knew that all this support could help other people going through it in the here and the now. So I don't know. I'm constantly thinking on my feet and coming up with new ideas and campaigns and trying to keep that money coming in. But oh, how nice it would be to not have to worry about, as a charity, as any charity, not just Help Harry, if you didn't have to stress about the money. You know, and I've shared these frustrations last week. I had a big meeting with Birmingham City Council to say, look, you know, we're adding so much value to Birmingham. We're supporting mental health. We're supporting the 7 main areas of deprivation, you know, by what we do through, you know, in a nutshell, we support the mental well-being of cancer patients and their families, you know, across emotional, financial and practical support with 20 services. We're now getting local hospitals referring people to us, but we don't get money for those referrals. And that's not what it's about. But the more people that come through our doors, the more my costs go up, because I've got to have extra counsellors. You know, I've got a counsellor.
And all the money that's in the NHS as well. And none of that's being trickled to you, and you're then assisting.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's navigating your way. I don't talk the government language or the NHS language. At the end of the day, and I think people do sometimes forget, I'm a mum who's lost my son, you know, to cancer. So I haven't worked within public health or the third sector before. What I've created today is self-taught, you know. But even with that, it's not just about the money from people like Birmingham City Council. It's about what education can they give us? How can they, you know, when we went through the pandemic, we were one of the only services, you know, accessible to people. Cancer doesn't stop just because the pandemic's here. If anything, you know, it increases mental health issues and heightens fears and anxieties. So we reacted to all of that, but we didn't get any support, you know. So for us, it's just about, come on, Birmingham, get behind us. Mm. We could do so much more if we had that, you know, that backing.
Mm. The frustration must be there then when you see, especially within the previous council, obviously coming into this new council, the issues around money. And it's quite refreshing, even, obviously, we're down at Knighthead Park, aren't we? The Blues ground, seeing what Blues are doing, what they're trying to push or trying to assist the council with infrastructure for the new ground and being involved. It's nice that there is someone there because, yeah, the minute the council are in the position are there to,
absolutely,
to do a great deal.
Yeah,
and I think, you know, I'm a passionate Blue Nose anyway, but it is so good to see, I think, that this new vision for the club, you know, a new management and how they're working now. It's nice to see how they've relifted, reinvigorated and motivated the fans. You know, the fans will always be the fans, but it was a hard time and everybody's like, ugh. Yeah. You know, but it's just brought this new energy, and not just to the fans of the club, but to Birmingham and beyond. You know, it's nice to see, you know, you get Tom Wagner flying in, you know, and he's supporting the game, but actually he's trying to do so much good for the benefit of Birmingham and people within it, and that's me.
Yeah.
You know? So it excites me, and I need that motivation. Bracelet. Of course, on Saturday.
Good sporting there, bracelet, that's good.
Always, yeah, that's, you really know. Nice. And just that, those little touches, you know, it's not always about the money, is it? But the awareness from that. You know, I'm in touch with Tom, and I always say, you know, I'll drop him an email and thank him for just the gesture, because he doesn't have to.
Yeah.
You know, but for us up the road, we appreciate it. And it's these little things, if everybody can give us a mention, you know, spread a bit of awareness that way, it just helps. And ultimately, you know, it's not helping me, it's benefiting those that turn to us for support. And that is what we are about.
Yeah. Did you find a spike in COVID? The support that was needed, because I know at the time my wife was poorly at the time, and the text messages that you get from the NHS warning you stay away from your family, stay near a window, and they're relentless.
Absolutely.
Imagine cancer patients, they were getting those same messages, weren't they? And then you're kind of like, you're in the house, you don't know who to talk to, you've been told to stay away from your family, stay by a window, you know, you're poorly anyway. So I can imagine there was a big black hole of support there, wasn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose the closest analogy I can give to anybody who's listening who has not been through cancer or doesn't know anybody affected by cancer, just like the pandemic, you know, when we heard those words, everybody must go home, you know, it affected people's routines, their lifestyles, as I say, increased isolation, etc. For us through the pandemic, that was just for a short period of time, but ultimately it impacted on all aspects of our lives. For us, it was over, but for cancer patients, it's not. You know, when the doctors say, you've got cancer, you know, straight away, like with us, their lives turn upside down. A lot of them do go home and try and isolate and struggle, you know, live in fear of, you know, catching anything because they can be hospitalised. They might have to give up work like I did, you know, and that's as a carer. It impacts on your finances, it impacts on you emotionally, and it impacts on you practically. And you find as well that people, because they don't know how to, people aren't educated in how to talk to people going through cancer. So some people avoid, you know.
Or you might get...
Absolutely,
yeah. Do you ever find then, in those kind of times, that you wouldn't mind someone actually coming and talking to you about something else, but they don't want, like you said, people feel like they can't put their problems on you or ask you things that aren't related to what you're going through, but sometimes it'd actually be quite nice to have the subject changed, have someone come to you with something and help them with...
Yeah, absolutely. And quite often, you know, I've got people who come to the centre who haven't even told their families. Where they come to the centre because it's their safe space. You know, we had one person in particular, a man going through prostate cancer and hadn't told his family, but straight after treatment would come to the cancer centre. And this is recent, this is it within the last few weeks, for his 6-week, you know, treatment journey of radio at the QE, he would drive, you know, and it's the other side of Birmingham, but comes to us because he can talk openly and freely. You know, but we're working with him through counselling to get him to be in that. But it's acceptance. People go, you know, they go be in denial. But they've got to reach these decisions themselves, you know.
It's easier to talk to someone who's a stranger as well, isn't it, sometimes, than have the whole, if I speak to my family, it's just going to be like, woe me.
And it's not just that. I think it's adding people, it's adding fears to other people. You know, within you, you don't want to add pressure and burden.
Yeah.
But then also you hold back. You know, you might, whereas with us, you can just be blatant. It can just come out. And there's no judgment. You know, there's no biased opinions, you know, but it's us exploring those thoughts and making you reach your own conclusions of to how you proceed forward. So we quite often teach people, you know, how to manage communications. You know, i.e., for example, you know, just say, you know, I'm Georgie. Yes, I've been diagnosed with cancer. I don't want to talk about it. But when I do, I know that you're there because people lose their identity. So cancer becomes all that everybody, you know, and that's because we, on the outside, we want to show that we care.
Of course.
You know, but they're sick of it because everywhere they go, that's the main topic and consensus of conversation. So there's so many things and aspects of how cancer impacts on people's lives that I think unless you've walked the walk, so to speak, you know, people can't comprehend. And that's where we come in. But there is not any other services across Birmingham that offers, you know, we support adults and children affected by any type of cancer. So, and we've got 20 services. There are other centres, you know, that do amazing work, but you won't find the portfolio of services that we have
as a whole.
And there's three big areas that we're very passionate about. So early prevention and diagnosis, you know, screening is vitally important. So every month I have a 44-ton MRI scanner come on site as part of the TLHC lung screening program. So those over 55 get invited by the GP and they're at high risk of lung cancer anyway. They come in and have scans, so the MRI scanners on site for a week every month. And then we're just in talks now about smoking cessation from site at Halparry and liver screening. Then we deal with the reaction to that cancer diagnosis. So our 20 services, you know, helping people emotionally, practically, financially. And that's emotional support, counselling, breast care and bra fitting services, housing advice, benefits advice, debt, financial advice, support groups, and more. We do after school clubs for kids as well. And then the third element is actually helping people beyond cancer. And this is what makes us quite unique. So those services are where it's more coaching and mentoring. So it's helping people to look forward. So they've gone through the counselling, they've dealt with all the stuff. And quite often there's lots of things outside of cancer that come into that. You know, we have people that are struggling with alcohol abuse, drug abuse. We've had self-harming. We've had some very complex cases, you know, that come through because things come to the surface. When you open that box,
yeah,
you know, there's other stuff there. And then the coaching and mentoring is about, as I say, looking forward. So it's helping people, not just the patient, but the carers too, or the loved ones. Once that journey has come to an end and the hospital goes, great, go and get on with your life. That's when most people we see fall apart. They feel guilty because they should be celebrating that they're better. But actually, it's almost like your head catches up with what your body's been through. And as a carer, you know, quite often the loved ones have lost their confidence, their self-esteem, and they're like, who's going to employ me now? I've been a carer for 5 years. But actually, there's so many transferable skills that they have.
So
we're just about to try and tackle digital poverty. So all of our service users have just, we've just given them all laptops. And then we'll be running some digital classes to teach them as well, you know, on how to get online. Some of our service users don't even know how to turn on a laptop or go on the internet. And everything is web-based now, you know, or internet-based. Even to get an appointment.
The post offices and the banks all closing.
But what about the older generation? Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, I'm not that techie savvy either. So, I can, it resonates with me that it's just, you know, what's happening? Our communities are being diminished.
Yeah.
And that's why I say good on the Blues for everything that they're doing and reinstalling faith, I think, in community, because community is just going. And that's what we're about. You know, the Cancer Centre, as well as offering the formal support, we're a bit of a community centre as well for like-minded people that just happen to be going through cancer.
Yeah.
You know, we're reducing isolation. You know, and the people are forming friendships. And I think it's a beautiful thing what we've got. I just wish there was more of me and we could do it in more areas outside of cancer, but that's my passion.
And no one's exempt to cancer, are they? So you could have another 10 people that want to come to it. So, and I suppose the numbers, you can't really react to the numbers. So you could have 10 people 1 week, 100 people the next week, and so forth and
we
so
don't
forth.
Know.
But you don't know who's going to...
We don't know what's going to present themselves every week at Halpara. And as I say, sometimes, you know, we have some complex things. We've had cases where people are suicidal. You know, so, you know, and that's why we, you know, we've got professional trained therapeutic counsellors that offer that support. It's like the I'll be honest, the weight of responsibility that I sometimes feel, I'm like, you know, this is people's lives, but I'm very proud of the impact that we have. And I get it, you know, as well as Harry being poorly, I lost my mom through mental health. You know, she took her life 18 months after Harry died. So throughout my childhood, my teenage years in particular, you know, and seeing mum going through depression, which then resulted in her turning to alcohol, it was massive. So for me, you know, the centre is not just a legacy to Harry, but it's also a legacy to my mum. Because as I said, we support people through mental well, you know, we support the mental well-being of cancer patients and their families. And anything can trigger mental health issues, you know, and I'm not veering off from cancer, but, you know, it can be a cancer diagnosis. It can be financial issues. It can be breakdown in relationship. It can be change in routine. It can be because somebody's had to give up work. So everything that we do covers all of those areas.
Yeah. So where do you find a work-life balance where you switch off for a minute? Because it seems as
that
switch is never off.
Yeah, I'm not the most adventurous when it comes to social life. I tend to hibernate quite a bit, you know. Obviously, in the early years, it was I still find everybody wants a piece of Georgie Moseley, but I was on obviously a lot of the social networks, but I pulled back from them 18 months in, and it's very rare that you'll see me in something now. It's because I have to keep the focus and working on the things that will benefit Hal Parry.
Yeah.
But outside of that, you know, I did have a family party the weekend, but I spent the whole day yesterday in bed, you know, just watching movies, just rubbish on the TV. But that's my way of getting balance, you know. I work full 12-hour days. I work 5 till 5, Monday to Thursday, based at the Cancer Centre. But, you know, like this, I'm here today, I'm flitting, I've got meetings all day, back to back.
Yeah.
So I find that, I love early starts. It's my only 3 hours of the day that I don't have any interruptions. And I get more done in those 3 hours than I do in the remaining sort of nine hours. Yeah. So
just to point it then, you know, at the start then, could it have been easier for I wouldn't say a weaker person, but not as a strong person, to then become a celeb out of it instead of, and then lose your why or lose your, you know, you're saying that you took a step away. I can imagine that some people, it might go to the head and they might be like, okay, this is about me to a certain extent because people want part of you and interviewing you. Is it hard to kind of...
It's a really good question, actually.
You did knock over quite a few awards, didn't you, as well, off the back of the success of the charity?
Yeah, but the awards were not something... We have never put ourselves forward for an award. Yeah. You will never... You know, I don't agree with that. The only ones that we've ever attended, and most of those, and there's not many, actually, that we've won, have been because other people have nominated me or the charity. And I just think that's disrespectful. When somebody's gone to that time and effort...
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not in it for awards. I'm not in it for ego. You know, I still live in my little council house up the road. And, you know, it doesn't fit with the core values of who I am and what I stand for. And actually, the sad thing as a, you know, with my personal hat on and head as Harry's mom, I've met many amazing people along the way who are very genuine. You know, you look at one of our ambassadors, Ben Shepherd. You know, he met Harry, was inspired by Harry, and still to this day, he's always thinking about us without me having to ask. You know, when he gets that opportunity to plug Hal Parry or do something for us, and that's when you know it's genuine. But I've also met some people where it is about their own egos and status and purpose. And, you know, hence to say with those, you know, I part company quickly when that happens. But that does make me sad.
Mm. It was Harry and the exposure that he got, it was kind of like the first really media frenzy focused charity, wasn't it? Like since Captain Tom and the money he was able to raise.
Yeah.
But Harry kind of ran so that charity could walk, didn't it, kind of thing?
Absolutely.
Regardless, so that was the blueprint, like for the media, that to be able to cover that in the way that they did then, kind of that came next, didn't it?
Yeah, and it's a shame now, you know, we don't get any media coverage. You know, if we want it, we've got to pay for it. And I haven't got those advertising budgets. You know, there is nothing that you could strip out of our charity spends that, you know, without losing people. And we've only operationally got a very small team. Our service delivery team is big, but they're there as councillors to council, or they're there as the finance people to deliver that service. But operationally, you know, there's only three of us that actually run the whole of the charity. And that includes everything. Absolutely, yeah. And I'd love to recruit more people, you know, and that's a need. And I'm sure that would, you know, you've got to look at your return on your investment. But at the minute, I haven't got that time. If I take my foot off the gas, so to speak, and at the moment invest that time into training somebody, potentially we might not be here. You know, so it's about doing things when the time is right. But for now, we're riding the tidal wave, you know, the storm, if you like, since COVID. And, you know, and then the cost of living crisis. There's been so much noise in the world, hasn't there?
Yeah, so negative, isn't it? Everything.
And so for now, whatever I can strip back, if that means I work more hours, it's fine. But, you know, hopefully at some point I will get that, you know, better balance of life for, you know, for me and my partner and my family.
Also, yes.
I need to just pause for a moment, assess what's happening within the charity, and then, you know, with that, I'll get clarity of how we need to proceed moving forwards. But so it's all these things that, you know, apart from the, you know, people see me in photos and doing fundraising events and whatever, but actually the business side of things, And I care, you know, I care. I'm constantly training and trying to develop myself. You know, in the early years of setting the charity up, I did an ILM, I think it was, leadership and management course, level 5. I've done my counselling 3 and 4 certificates. I'm starting my diploma in September. And you know, they're heavy courses. You know, it's not just the horse time, it's the assignments and the, everything else around it, which I do sometimes think, am I going to fit that in with a 60-hour week? But I've got through it once,
yeah,
and I'll do it again. But you know, but that's because I want us to be the best that we can be, and not for anything other than the people that walk through our door.
Yeah.
You know,
you do a lot with schools as well, don't you?
Yes. So we've got Harry love going into schools, and I still do. But again, that's changed since the pandemic.
Right.
You know, I used to go into a lot more schools and younger funders institutes. And again, it's about taking Harry's story and the learning from that of him being, you know, average kid on the street, but look at what he achieved. So with the younger funders, I'll go in and it's about them. They can resonate with Harry. You know, I'll show a little video of Harry with his hoodie and his trainers and his cheek on this screen, and they see themselves in Harry or their nephew or, you know, their brother. And it's about saying, look, as long as you believe in yourself, Harry used to say, believe in yourself and make it happen. You know, and as long as, if we haven't got those support networks around us, as long as we believe in ourselves, we, you know, don't compare ourselves to other people, just keep our focus. And that's what I've done. You know, I'm not interested in, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but I'm not interested in how comparing us to the next charity. Yeah. I'm interested in what I do. And that's why I say, in terms of the social things as well, I've just kept myself back, reined things in, and just kept my focus. And that's why perhaps I'm a bit more quieter. I'm not as visible, but that's just because I've got so much to do.
Yeah, and organically, you've put the work in there to make it run, haven't you?
But we're still here.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I've got to be doing something right. There was another cancer charity, I'm not going to name them, but, you know, they had a lot of investment from Solihull Council. And they, I think they were established for 3 years. They've got big fundraising teams, corporate and community fundraising teams. And after the first pandemic, when we were all released from the first lockdown, they closed their doors.
I say that's about the last one, don't they? About 3 years at the moment.
And we've been here, you know, this in September, it'll be our 13th year. Although they said that's unlucky for some, don't they? Maybe I shouldn't have, I don't know. But you know what? Whatever happens, it's like, you know, Harry raised, he raised £750,000, but it rose to £1.2 million after he died. You know, as a charity, separate and in addition to that money, you know, we've distributed over £2 million across Birmingham. You know, and I don't think Birmingham celebrates Harry enough, if I'm honest. And I'm going to be biased because I'm his mum.
No, that's insane. But I think
if you think of the impact, nobody from the government, nobody's interested, you know. But I don't do it for them. I do it for the people that walk through our door.
Do you find that as well? Because when we were talking, when Carl Chin came and sat down with us, he talked about where he'd hit ceilings and he'd struggled to communicate to people that don't speak Birmingham, that aren't from the streets of Birmingham, not educated in the same way as people that traditionally end up in power. Do you find that yourself when you're trying to tell the story and trying to speak to people of a certain ilk in power, that you just don't get the message across, or this because of the lack of interest?
Because we're Brummies.
Yeah, I don't know whether it's because we're Brummies, but I just think that there's, you know, as I said to the council I met last week, I think if your face doesn't fit in Birmingham, you know, there's a certain, you know, social scene and things, and, you know, and we just, and I'm a busy fool, but I do the best that I can do with the means that I've got and that I know and that are instilled within me. You know, I'm like sure that we could do.
That no. You kind of go in and.
No.
You're learning as you're going.
Absolutely. I learn every single day. You know, I've been doing this now, as I say, for nearly 13 years, and I've learned a lot, but, you know, and when I make mistakes, it's the biggest lesson. You know, you learn from them, and I'm all for a continuous improvement. And we don't always get things right, you know, but we're human, And we just, you know, for me, it's about then looking at that root cause of, okay, this is what's gone wrong. Not interested in a blame. You know, we must, when I sit down with the team, it's not about who's done it. It's not a blame game, but it's about how do we prevent this from happening moving forward, you know? But this is where I just wish there was another 24 hours in a day. That would make me a very happy girl. There's so much more that, you know, I could do.
48 hours for you, I think.
So talking of that, and each year you do charity fundraiser, don't you? So you climb mountains, you boxed.
Yeah, I lost.
Roller skated. Did you lose?
I gave it a good go, don't you worry. I can't remember the lady's name now, but one of our supporters put on a white collar boxing and I fought at the ICC September 23.
Brilliant.
But you know what? I absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
So if anybody wants to do a boxing match for help,
call someone out now, the camera.
Sign me up.
They're like, come for me now.
You know, really, his body wasn't built for fit, but I'll have a go at anything. Yeah. And that's what I love as well. You know, for me, I appreciate people's support, and a lot of people say, but George, you shouldn't be doing that. You know, I'm not big on titles. Bottom of my email, which you've seen, you know, it's Harry's mum and founder, or Harry's proud mum and founder. But, you know, I am the CEO, but you know what? If I can join somebody in their sponsored walk or their swim or they're doing a mountain track, if I'm free, you know, I have to try and get balance for my own family. So I'll commit to so many a month. But I'm there because I appreciate, you know, I might come up with a vision and do all what we do, but without people believing in us, we're nothing, we're gone. So for me, the biggest thank you of all, rather than, we give certificates, but is for me to have a presence, to acknowledge that and to be a part of, to give time, most precious gift of all. And that's what we give people at the centre, is time.
Okay,
brilliant. What's next?
So Harry's birthday is on the 22nd of February. So I've literally only had the idea the weekend. I've been racking my brains for the last...
Do you wake up in the middle of the night and go, Eureka!
Yes, I do. Yeah, I do. And then sometimes the team laugh at me quite often. I'll nip to the ladies at the centre and I'll come out and I'll go, I've had an idea. And they hate it when I go on holiday because I'm normally coming back with loads of ideas. And that's it. I think sometimes it's that time, isn't it, just for your brain to relax.
Stepping away.
To stop.
Stepping away and looking from the outside in. Occasion, isn't it? Sometimes you can be very inward thinking when you don't get out of the actual business yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, that will be... I've got to put it down, the idea, onto paper this afternoon after my meetings. But I'm hoping that it will be personal. I'm hoping people can also join in rather than, you know, last year I did on his 24th birthday a 24-hour dance-a-thon. Year before I did a 22-hour roller skating thing at the centre because it didn't cost money. And this year I'm hoping to do a 25-hour event. So, but details will that be on our show, sure. So I hope everybody can give us a like or a follow. Yeah. I've done 24, so what's another hour? Although I am dreading it when Harry would be celebrating his 40th birthday. Might be a bit long in the tooth, though. Yeah.
That'll have to be something set at based on it.
Yeah.
So you mentioned earlier about the GoFundMe page. So can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so we are just this year starting to look at how we can apply and get some funding in because we need to be sustainable. We've been very fortunate that we've been shortlisted for an awards, but not an award as in you're doing great work, here's an award. It's that we've been shortlisted our funding proposal as finalists and we go to London in March. But in addition to that, Aviva have allowed us to set up this crowdfunding page to support our project. I will share the details with you, but for every donation, even if anybody can spare 50p, it's doubled up to the value of £50,000. Now, for every individual donation, they will double it up to 250 quid. So if you were to donate today and put 250, we would get £500. If you would put 500, they would only match up to the 250, which is super generous of them anyway. So we're trying to get support for that to help us, you know. Early this year, I haven't got any big events planned. as I say, at the moment, it's just we're pausing and looking at the staffing and the restructuring of, you know, what the clarity of what we need moving forwards, which is taking more of my time. But then, of course, we'll be doing our annual dinner and things. And I've got my finger into so many pies. I can't share yet, but yeah, there's lots going on.
That's exciting.
So, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Brilliant. So. Yeah, well, as and when you know, let us know and we'll share the information around and push it out as far as we can.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And
thanks for your time today. I know you're super busy and stuff, but thanks. I think it'll be really great to get the word.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if there's anybody out there that's going through cancer or knows anybody affected by cancer, you know, more importantly, you know, reach out to us. That's what we're there for. You know, the Cancer Centre supports adults and children affected by any type of cancer. And men too. We have so many men that come through the centre, you know. So get the support that you deserve.
Prostate cancer now the most common cancer in adults.
Absolutely, yeah. It's overtook breast cancer diagnosis. You know, there's one in two of us are affected by cancer. One person every 90 seconds in the UK is diagnosed with cancer. That's 1,100 people per day. You know, they predict so. There's 3 million people affected by cancer now in the UK. By 2040, they predict that will be 5.3 million. And that backs up my argument. So whilst we're focusing on research, which is important, what are we doing about the rising numbers and making sure there's enough support for all the stuff outside the treatment? And that's where Help Harry comes in.
Thank you again.
Thank you. Amazing. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening.
We'll see you soon.
Yeah, take care.
Thanks, Georgia.
Thanks.